Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Okay. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right, welcome to Weekday Wednesday, everybody. Good morning, good morning. What is today? It's January 11th. I can't even believe it. It's a spicy Wednesday morning.
And you're Belle Starr.
And you are
the Cannabis Kid.
None other.
We're here Wednesday, December.
No, sorry.
Honey, January 14th.
He goes to Mexico a lot, and so his weekends are just really long.
It was really funny because I actually looked at your Christmas tree right now.
Yeah.
It's December 14th. No, it is January 14th. And,
it's January 11th.
God.
It's the 11th. It's okay.
It is the 11th.
He hasn't smoked a thing. We'll get him.
I haven't.
Let's get my medicine in front of me. He's had a couple of hard days.
January 11th.
He's had a couple of hard days.
It was.
They've been a couple. They're still.
It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. All day. It's Wednesday.
Did you know it's Wednesday?
I did. And last night before I went to bed, I knew it was coming.
You know, it has been a wild weekend. So,
And we want to send prayers and love out to the stars.
Yes.
Lots of good juju and love and prayers to the stars. So, it's January 11th, you guys.
It's December 14th. Remember earlier before that.
it was December 14th. Well, welcome to Weekday Wednesday. Woo! Whatever day it is, we really don't care. We're glad you're here. And blog with us. Oh, I didn't even get to say good morning. Good morning, ganja lovers. Blog with us. Get online. Go to, just go to tumbleweedhealthcenter.com and check it out. Go to the radio link. If you click the very first picture there, it will take you right to our radio show. And if you scroll down a little bit, it will also take you to the radio show.
You can also call in and be with us live and press 1 if you have any questions or comments or would just like to chat with us.
Pulled it up for him. It's 646-915-8421. And for all you millennials, it's #1. And for all us old people, it's pound one. I'm not sure why we're
to hang out with us.
Yeah, if you want to, don't do it. We just dare you. Double dog dare.
It'll be fun.
Take
but you'll enjoy
challenge.
It.
All right. What do we got going on? Oh, well, Cannabis Kid is needing to take in some medicine here, so we are going to get into the monkey.
Bong Rip Wednesday.
It is Bong Rip Wednesday. We love those days. We love it. Oh, yeah, and it's pretty funny anyway. All right. So we're going to read from, a lighter. Who's got the pickle?
Who's got the pickle?
Good morning,
Grand Island.
Woo, we've got the pickle. Look at this fun picture. I don't know why. What is this?
Where are we? What day is it?
It's December 14th.
December 14th.
For the besties.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday.
January 11th and the dog going cuckoo outside. Sorry. We're reading a little bit from the High Times magazine. February edition. I don't know how we get the February's edition already since we're in December. But if you, they've got a little fold out in the middle here, and it's a little pirate ship full of nubs everywhere, and the sea is weed, and
you know what it looks like? It looks like one of those bottles.
The pirates are made of weed. Look at that.
Those bottled ships.
Yo, yeah, you stick
in the ships in the bottle, and then in the bottle, it also has a whole bunch of nugs around it.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. That's just beautiful.
That is tasty.
Blue cheese. They look fresh, too. Like,
they do.
All right. So we're going to get into some monkey business here. Since he's doing so well already, I haven't had mine.
I know.
I'm going to let you read about monkey business.
All right.
Woo-hoo. Monkey
up. DEA's latest rejection of the petition to reschedule cannabis under the Controlled Substance Act came in August of 2016. However, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration weighed in a year earlier, providing the DEA with its own recommendation in 2015. Now, thanks to the reporting of Vice, we know why the FDA pulled from Schedule 1, the most restricted category of drugs, because monkeys like to get high. Bam! Information
monkeys
obtained
like
by Vice through the Freedom of Information Act revealed the FDA urging that pot remain in the same category as heroin because a 2003 study found that squirrel monkeys really like THC,
squirrel,
which somehow creates an abuse liability for the hairless apes. Also, the 13-year-old study was bankrolled by the National Institute of Drug Abuse.
Yeah.
A hotbed of pot prohibition.
Yeah.
Interesting, the documents also showed the FDA rejecting marijuana's medicinal value due to the concerns that pot causes an increased merriment and appetite, as well as a heightened imagination. Heaven forbid that happened.
God forbid, thinking. Wow. That it?
That's it.
Well, monkey see, monkey do.
Well, that's no reason to keep it in Schedule 1.
Because they like to be happy? Because monkeys like to be happy, they're keeping it in Schedule 1.
I have this theory, Belle.
Okay.
So, you know, we have an endocannabinoid system.
Oh, yeah, wait. Are we hitting all the wrong sound effects?
I know. You gotta get it right over there.
You know, it just needs to be a little larger. All right, go ahead.
So we all have our endocannabinoid system.
We do have that.
Some humans' endocannabinoid system works better than others. True?
Yes, because they're deficient.
Right.
Yes.
So,
well,
you know.
Let's say why.
I think, you know, we see why they want to keep it as a Schedule 1. Because if they keep it in the no medical value and they're all in, you know, cahoots together, the pharma company and, of course, FDA and... They all share boards. They all share seats. Uh-huh. They all commingle with each other, creating and making these decisions for us based on what these kooks think they know. So if they continue to keep it there and create studies that show really no point in medical research.
Well, yeah, let's study something that...
Really, let's... I mean, if we're going to study this plant...
Let's study
and
something
and the chemicals that are in it, then let's do something right.
Let's do something like this. We came up with an article online. This is how marijuana helped this mother's autistic son. So we can read a little bit about this and, you know...
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that,
can we,
that are important. You want me to put that on the blog up there? What do you
yeah,
think? Like
if you could,
do?
Well, yeah.
We're
going to
put this on the blog. You can follow along. So go check it out. Here, let's just put
this
it in our little
from
chat session.
A,
this is an online article. I just, every week I just type in marijuana and find out
what's going on
in the world.
Uh-huh.
And so it leads me to these different websites.
ATTN.com.
Yeah, ATTN.com.
I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm. So, marijuana has been found to treat a wide variety of medical conditions, and now many parents are saying it even helps their children deal with autism, despite limited scientific research and the fact that federal law prohibits treating kids with cannabis. Marie Myung Ok Lee, a New Yorker whose son was diagnosed with a painful gastrointestinal disease and severe autism when he was 3 years old, spoke to ATTN about integrating cannabis into her son's treatment regime. The cannabis has been one of the biggest changes in his life and has kept him out of an institution, Lee said. Autism is a complex development disorder that affects social and cognitive functions to varying degrees. In the case of Lee's son, symptoms included violent rages characterized by punching, scratching, food throwing, self-harm, episodes that happened up to 300 times a day at its worst. And traditional medication did little to mitigate these symptoms and actually forced Lee to pursue alternative treatment options. So Lee found cannabis. Her son, becoming at the age of 9, the youngest medical marijuana patient in Rhode Island. Though there is limited scientific information about the effects of cannabis on autistic patients, anecdotal evidence proved compelling. In a recent editorial for the Washington Post, Lee described the barriers parents of autistic children face. This subterfuge, the stigma, the fear, and the work required to find a, to find a steady supply of the right plant prevent more families with kids in crisis from trying medical marijuana. Even parents sent along by our son's neurologist, who has been amazed by his transformation, have concluded that it's all too much for them. Lee was also assured by Dr. Lester Grinspoon, a professor emeritus at Harvard Medical School Psychiatry Department, who was on our radio show, that the worst he could do was make our son fall asleep. Because cannabis being non-toxic, it cannot kill you. This is one of those times we can say you will never, never, never die from cannabis. I knew that the drug could help curb wild behavior, impulsive behavior, so I suggested that they try this, Grinspoon told ATTN. I would never have done this with any other drug. I knew they were not going to get in trouble. After some trial and error and using oil tinctures to measure the doses, Lee found the right strain of cannabis for her son's condition. Medical marijuana appeared to work. It left, quote, left him clear-eyed and alert without the constant pain furrow in his brow or the off-the-wall rages, she wrote. Access to cannabis for autism is severely lacking in the U.S. There are only two states, Delaware and Pennsylvania, where autism explicitly qualifies patients for a medical marijuana recommendation, and four additional states that will grant them for debilitating medical conditions, generally leaving it up to the doctor's discretion, according to the group Mothers Advocating Medical Marijuana for Autism. We should have them on.
We should.
That could change pending further research into the effects of cannabis and autism, but as it stands, only one study is currently underway in Israel to investigate how CBD, a non-psychoactive ingredient in cannabis, treats the disorder. Regardless of the emerging science and trend away from the total prohibition of marijuana, a major stigma is still attached to parents who use substance to treat their kids. One Post reader claimed that Lee's son would have to be doped up for the rest of his life as a result of his treatment, for example. Parents in Colorado who use cannabis to treat their kids with epilepsy told ATTN they heard similar complaints. But as these parents note, there are non-psychoactive forms of cannabis and the legal drugs pharmacists give to treat severe autism or epilepsy in children can leave them zombie-like with a reduced quality of life, which is what we're trying to increase is our people's quality of life here. But one of the greatest barriers to treatment and research is the fact marijuana remains federally prohibited as Schedule I drug, the most restrictive category under the Controlled Substances Act. Lee said that since sharing her story, readers have advised her to pack up and move her family to Colorado where marijuana is legal for medical and recreational use. I think they're missing the point, Lee said. As long as it's on Schedule One, you are always in danger of being prosecuted federally.
Yeah.
And that is the truth. That is a sad truth. But the science, the scientific studies are what people seem to really, and I don't know what they want. I mean,
them?
Five guys on the couch in Montana. Those guys. Yes. Them. And now those five guys are smoking weed.
Well, we all know what it is. We know that the main thing is money, and it's the pharmaceutical company that's driven this, pharmaceutical country.
Yeah.
And they're not going to give up easily, and they're going to continue fighting, and they're going to continue pouring their money into making with the lobbyists and continue to make these laws to where it feels where the federal government can still prosecute you in this situation. And that's the thing I think we're going to start seeing in the next 5 to 10 years is where this is going is going to be incredible. You know, it's because it is going to be more of the people.
Yeah, it is. Well, absolutely, I won't say anything there. It is. And we just have to wait and see what happens. We were promised all 50 states of legalization. Last night was Mr. Obama's farewell.
Yes.
And I couldn't watch part of it. And then I was listening to music. I just needed to be, it was hard. So
yeah.
I flipped it on. Right when he was starting to give kudos to Michelle. Oh, my Lord, did you see that part? That man, that couple. I'm going to miss her in the White House.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss her in the White House.
It's true.
That was just, he was crying.
Yeah.
And pulling out his little hanky.
It's a hard thing to know that
and
this.
She stepped into a huge position. They all did.
Yeah.
You know, he thanked all his girls. And that's it, you know, and the kids coming up going into office. That's a hard job. I don't wish that on anyone. All right, what else
nope.
we got out of High Times magazine?
So much.
High Tide.
So much.
We got High Tide out of High Times.
High
Check
tide.
This out. This is our grouper stories. In less than a month, customs agents have found hundreds of pounds of pot with a street value of more than $300,000 floating off the coast of Florida. Hey.
Hey.
Road trip. The washed
Robert,
up,
are you at it again?
I know. Come on. The washed-up weed has been discovered along the Sunshine State's eastern seaboard and as far south as the Florida Keys. Over a period of 27 days from September to October, agents collected roughly 400 pounds of castaway cannabis. According to the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, it's part of a growing trend. There have been 95 similar seizures in 2016, and that was up significantly from 49 in 2015. The agency attributed the rise in drugs washing up on Florida's shores to both potential change in smuggling methods by criminal organizations and improved partnerships among law enforcement agencies, including the Coast Guard. Authorities also warn folks to think twice about taking home any pot they might find on the beach in the ocean, as violent criminal networks will attempt to recover their narcotics. That's
right. Violent
criminal networks.
Well, you know,
that's like
they don't know.
There
are.
Well, yeah, but
there
that's
are.
Where they went. I mean, my first thought was, ew, who wants to smoke that?
I know, after it's been.
Well, no, just even before it got me watered. That's just gross. That's just nasty. They're giving 400 pounds of value of $300,000.
Yeah, you don't. If you don't know, especially if you don't know where your medicine is coming from.
Well, from here, it's coming from the Florida Keys. We know exactly where it's coming from. You guys.
Seed to seal, Belle. Seed to seal.
I know. I can't even help myself. So check it out. If you want to learn more about cannabis and all that good stuff, go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And if you have one of these conditions, we're trying to read it over the dog barks here, PTSD, cancer, glaucoma, HIV, AIDS, ALS, Crohn's disease, agitation of Alzheimer's disease, a chronic or debilitating disease or a medical condition, or the treatment for a chronic or a debilitating disease or a medical condition that causes wasting syndrome, severe and chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, including those characteristic of epilepsy, severe or persistent muscle spasms, including those characteristic of MS. You can get qualified for quite a bit.
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Yes, give us a shout out, 520-838-4430. You can email thctucson@gmail.com. Just go right to the website, tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. There's news articles and information, and there's a section about the law. If you're new to all this, you can check out our law section. In fact, at the bottom of the law page here, if you scroll on down, there's there's a big map, but right above that there's a link. It says View Arizona Dispensaries, and it'll take you and show you all the dispensaries.
Wow.
Yeah. Just don't forget to go back and read your news articles. We posted something about it was the new year, so we wanted to know if marijuana helped cure the alcohol hangover.
I did see that.
Yeah. And it says, we've probably all been there one time or another. The night before was an alcohol binge drinking fest, and you're now paying the price today with a mild to massive hangover. Those are not very fun. Considering the amount of New Year's Eve parties across America, I'd imagine there are more than a few people that are reading this hungover right now. They were considering this was the next day. You're probably desperate for anything that will make you feel better, right? Alcohol hangover symptoms include the notorious headache, upset stomach, possibly aches and pains, plus who knows what else. Quick
yeah.
trips to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Most of the unpleasant symptoms experienced during a hangover are caused by two factors. The diuretic alcohol effect that causes the drinker to become dehydrated, and the toxic effects of alcohol poisoning in many systems of the body. Marijuana, of course, does not rehydrate you or flush alcohol poisons from your body. However, it can help you indirectly by helping you eat. A commenter on a marijuana.com forum stated that following that I think sums up nicely. It doesn't cure them. A hangover will stop once your body has rid itself of the leftover alcohol and been rehydrated. I use marijuana for hangovers because it cures my nausea and helps me allow to drink water, which usually I throw back up and get food in my stomach. It's not a cure per se, but it does definitely help. I found one website called thedrunkpirate.com. The Drunk Pirate had the following to say about marijuana and alcohol hangovers. I can handle the headache. It's the nausea that kills me with a hangover. In case you don't know it, cannabis is prescribed to cancer patients in some states as a cure for nausea. Now, I know that if you're the type of drinker you say you are, chances are you have a friend who's a pothead. Snag a doobie from him and stick it in a safe place. So the next time you have one of those nauseous hangovers, you can just grab it. Wake up, take a few hits, and eat your general towels. Be warned, don't get too high. Being high and hungover is not fun either.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the biggest benefit is smoking marijuana after a long night of drinking alcohol. So it makes the hungover person more tolerant to their symptoms and probably to their friends who are trying to take care
mm-hmm.
of them. Even before I have rehydrated and alcohol still poisoning my bloodstream, if I consume marijuana, it helps my head feel better and the symptoms are more tolerable. It's not just that way for a hangover. Marijuana has the same effect whenever I have almost any pain or ailment. Smoking marijuana makes me feel better every time. One thing for all readers to take away from this article is that alcohol is literally a poison, and it will make you sick if you consume too much. Compare that experience with marijuana, where the hangover is much less likely. I have personally never had a marijuana hangover, but I have heard about it from other consumers, mostly rookies. How about for a New Year's resolution? People promise to not drink alcohol next New Year's Eve and just smoke marijuana. According to recent studies, that would result in less crashes on the streets and obviously would lead to less hangovers on January 1st. Well,
true that.
Word up.
I know personally that it works really nicely. And it is less than what I would usually take if I was coming home from a stressful day or a day of hurt. Because what they're saying about the balance
mm-hmm.
is,
oh yeah,
there's something that when you use cannabis when you are hungover, it puts your body in a state of relaxation, and
yeah.
so you are already hungover mm-hmm. with some activities already happening to you.
Yeah.
So because those activities are happening, you kind of want to be aware. And that's where that balance is. And not getting too hungover.
Too medicated. Well, you're already at the point of too hungover.
Right.
You don't want to
too medicated.
Overwhelm your body.
Because you don't want to overstuff yourself.
Yeah.
It's like eat a very light.
Take a hit. And just,
perfect.
That's it. Take a hit and relax.
Mm-hmm.
Let it wash over you. Let it take so nausea.
Wash over you.
Let the nausea waves just release through your toes. We could do a whole meditation on hangovers mm-hmm. and just take a hit. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh. Hey, you were talking about the NFL earlier, were you not?
We were.
And this is good. Go
mm-hmm.
for it. Sorry about the bad line.
Does the NFL ban synthetic pot? Well, thank God. Well,
yeah.
Because we hear so much about this, and it is an herbal. It looks very similar
spice,
to cannabis.
Like
yes, spice,
and whatever
K1 and Superman,
XYZ.
And Yeah, not to be confused with all of these names.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so confusing.
You know, ecstasy has a lot of names, too.
Yes, it does.
And so does LSD.
Yes.
And
acid.
Heroin. So it's just interesting how...
I know. We just went culturally. We just went way.
Right, I went off. So,
yeah, NFL.
NFL banned synthetic pot. The National Football League has updated its drug policy to include synthetic marijuana as a banned substance. The decision to bring testing for synthetic pot, commonly known as K2 or spice, came during the annual drug and steroid policy negotiation between the NFL and the Players Association. Mm. Synthetic marijuana now joins cocaine, PCP, cannabis, opioids, MDMA, and amphetamines on the NFL's standard drug testing panel. Two high-profile indicates involving NFL players and synthetic marijuana may have led to the policy change. Last October, former Seattle Seahawks fullback Derek Coleman admitted to smoking Sprite prior to a hit-and-run accident that left the other driver with a broken collarbone. And in January, former New England Patriots defensive end Chandler Jones was briefly hospitalized after a bad reaction to synthetic weed caused him to wander into a police station shirtless and disorientated. The new testing policy sets the synthetic cannabinoid threshold at 2.5 nanograms per milliliter of blood. Hmm. As with other substances banned by the NFL, and failed tests can lead to mandatory enrollment in an intervention program, fines, and suspension. At the same time, the NFL refused to change its position on the actual cannabis, despite pleas from the medical professions and players who believe that marijuana could be invaluable as an alternative to addictive painkillers and neuroprotective potential could benefit players at risk for chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yeah,
concussions.
Yeah, concussions. Let's just say it like it is.
I'm going to get you in that one. They throw that one in at the end. Encephalopathy. Encephalopathy. Traumatic.
Concussion. Head injuries, people. Head injuries. I don't know. You got to take cannabis out of there because that's one of the main reasons that our government has it as a patent. They've patented cannabis.
Well, here we go back, though, to the same reason. So, obviously, the NFL is getting money from
pharmacies. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Because their guys are all in pain. I mean, okay, think of how many football, basketball, all of these.
Soccer.
Rugby.
Yeah.
And then once you become a national league, then that's where the money comes from. And, of course, I've been in media and marketing before.
Oh,
and
we know that.
Where you get the money, it's where you get the money.
It's where you get the money.
Yeah.
Hey, where'd you get the money? We got the money.
Yeah, we got it.
We got it.
And their logo's right there.
We got it. Oh, there it is.
Where you draw the line. But in some places, when it's been the national policy of using prescription drugs and painkillers and opiates and opioids for this, then something comes around that it's just way too good to be true, and...
You want to know what else is way too good to be true?
Don't get me started.
Puff, 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 puff,
into my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. ice in my fridge. It used to be frosty. My friends like,
damn, that's a stoned ass donkey.
Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of ice tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up, but can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I take a 65? DeVille cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's, and then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a huntin', looking for a pot shop, this is fucking
know about the science of marijuana. What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon. Is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimp shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs, it's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I'm gonna smoke some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
All right.
When we're back.
We're back. You were going to start the show over again.
I was like, and good morning.
Good morning. It's December 14th, in case you all don't know it out there.
It's Groundhog's Day, and we're going
to do it again. Oh, my Lord. Well, welcome back to Weed Day Wednesday. We're just talking about the NFL. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to attempt to play. We went to the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo in Phoenix a couple years ago. We were very fortunate enough to gather some tickets to that backstage stuff. And we got an interview with Kyle Turley. So let's see if this works.
Hi, welcome. We say Wednesday, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid.
We are live here with Kyle Turley. Hi, Kyle. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. What brings you here? Tell us why you're here.
Well, I started a group, an advocacy group, company, and it's evolving every day. But it's based around my personal story and experience with cannabis. And we started the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition once I searched out an attorney to help me through this process, to get involved in how to put my name behind this so that I can start speaking about this and getting with the products that are being innovated now to help people. And that's one thing that I could do. I could help get this to the people because of my career and what I experienced in football and chasing a dream. And being able to expose what cannabis has done for me is something that people need to understand, because I've been able to distance myself from an experience with the pharmaceutical industry that has spun about 20 years since I was 19 and had, you know, my first injuries from football and surgeries and all these things that then piled up over my career as a football player. So to understand personally and experience the world of football and the repercussions of that and what your life afterwards is going to be like is something I want to help improve for others as they want to search for that same dream.
Absolutely, and help educate people, because I don't think, you know, we're football fans. We scream and yell.
Sure.
You know, get excited when you guys all get slammed on the field. It's real fun to watch. I don't know how fun
it's fun to have
field.
Happen.
Yeah. But then, yeah. You know, we oftentimes go about our day, do our dishes, and go to bed, and we don't think that you're sitting in a bucket full of ice in serious pain.
Yeah.
Maybe crying, maybe not, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah, I bet.
Not necessarily from the pains, from what we didn't understand what was going on with our brains. And that's more importantly why I'm here. I've dealt with the injuries of football on every level, but now to understand what's happened to my brain from that long-term abuse is something that has totally changed my perspective on medicine. You know, being able to address inflammation and pain and all these others, you know, the amount of pain and inflammation that we have in our bodies from playing this sport, it wants to make you try to use Vicodin, to use these pharmaceuticals, because they're so powerful in what they do. But the long-term use and experience with those has shown an unbelievable dark side of the repercussions of the after effects of those chemicals that have been conjured to interact with the system in your body to help make these pains go away, this inflammation go away. It comes at a cost, much like playing the game of football. So now what we know about our brains and the effects not only on our bodies of these medicines, but more importantly our brain, is something that needs to be addressed rapidly. We have a rate of suicide that is unacceptable, a rate of disease that is unacceptable from Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, ALS, far exceeding the national averages of receiving these things into your life and being afflicted by these ailments, and that needs to stop. There's a problem. It's been exposed. And there's you know, lots of stories out there, and a movie about to come out with Will Smith that's going to expose this in December called Concussion. And to know what cannabis can do for the brain versus what isn't being done for the brain by the pharmaceutical industry, I think just speaks unbelievably loud in great volume to the importance of taking this away from the Schedule One, to being able to research and expose the true medicinal aspects of cannabis.
And the value,
100%. What can it do? If we can understand, if I can understand in the landscape of medical marijuana today, what these strains do and which ones are good for me and which ones aren't, and that, you know, how these, to do that now under this system that they've put into place with medical marijuana, just speaks volumes to why this needs to be in a laboratory and exposed by the greatest scientists and minds in the world, because we can resolve cancers and diseases and brain disease. It's proven to be the only thing to slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease, a disease that has been said by many politicians to be the disease and what will bankrupt ultimately our country. So if we have a medicine that is proving to fight against the greatest threat to our civilization as Americans, it behooves us, every one of us, to examine this on that level alone.
Absolutely. Were you afraid to come out for cannabis, as many people are?
No. I've never been afraid. You know, when I experience something and I feel something that is true and feel strongly about it, I speak about it. I've been talking about cannabis for over 10 years and been on, you know, nationally televised shows talking about cannabis, been seen as the guy that is now the big stoner guy, you know, and been willing to accept that, because
right.
I understand what it does for me, and people
right.
need to try it themselves and try to experience it. Unfortunately, I used it at fortunately and unfortunately, I was using it to mask a lot of things that didn't need to happen because of my use of pharmaceutical drugs. And I've, at times over my use of these drugs, I gave them their sole opportunity in distancing myself from cannabis, because cannabis is a medicine that you can walk away from. You know, I say at the end of the day, if you get to a total body wellness with cannabis, cannabis is the medication that can be that one medication, literally, that when doctors prescribe you pharmaceuticals, they say our goal is to one day get you off of this. but that takes a long time. That took 2 months locked in my house, giving my car keys to my wife, and cold sweats and shakes and depression and all these things to get off of those pharmaceuticals. And I've walked away from cannabis and said one day, I don't think I'm going to smoke for a month.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. It's like not drinking Cokes anymore.
Right.
You know, to walk away from the pharmaceutical industry is quite dramatic. And very dangerous.
Yeah.
And so I'm never going back. I don't even take an aspirin or a leave or anything anymore. And I've got some of the worst arthritic pain I think anybody could possibly have. And there are strains of cannabis that address it enough for me to deal with it in a proper way, and know more so dealing with it that the peace of mind I receive from not having to wake up and take a pill every day is an unbelievable experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
I appreciate you guys and what you're doing. It's going to take a collective effort to continue to expose this on the levels it needs to be exposed.
Yeah,
very important.
Thank you for educating people the way you do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Man, it was just a love fest.
Hi, welcome.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Oh, he was so intelligent, and I was just, I said to him right after, and I meant this in the best way possible, and I didn't mean it because he was a big dumb football player, because he isn't. I said, that was one of the most intelligent interviews we've ever done. And it was a 7-minute interview, and he hit more points. He hit every point that you could come across in cannabis, from pharmaceutical companies to being aware of our brain,
mm-hmm.
and the effects that those poisons in time build up into your systems that, you know, you can't just walk away from.
Right.
Locked himself in his house for 2 months, had his wife take his keys away, and, you know, was on, you know, many of these football players are on the verge of suicide, you know, and oftentimes some of them do that, you know.
Well, remember what he said that he didn't cry because of the pain.
Oh.
He cried because he couldn't understand what was happening to his brain.
Yeah. He didn't
I mean, if that isn't saying what those pain pills are doing to people all across this country, I don't know what else would, like, hit you like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is perfectly said. I mean, on the symptoms that you feel from those pain pills.
Yeah. It's, you know.
What is happening to my brain?
And they're, you know, they haven't been willing to look at that because of, like, you know, what you said, the pharmacies. Pharmaceutical companies are, they're attached, man. They are just.
The opioids and opiates and barbiturates and all of these. And, you know, comes with these pain pills, comes the high anxiety pills, because that's what you're doing to your body. And if we don't say something about this, you know, like you said, you know, start uncovering, exploiting this and getting it out there and saying, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
And that was 2 years ago. And things are just, I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. So we're back to the High Times magazine. I know we have, I just wanted to read a little bit about this, and we're going to get to empathy here real quick, but I like these, they've got these little blurbs here. This one is about seeking the spirit. The origins of many religious practices are often rooted in the use of cannabis and psychedelics. And I was just talking to a friend the other day saying, psychedelics are good. I think mind expansion can be a good thing.
Well, you've seen the many articles that have come out on the psilocybin, the magic mushrooms.
Yes, absolutely.
For people who have grand mal seizures, high depression,
anxiety.
What's the migraines?
Migraines.
What kind of migraine? There's a name for the migraine. Okay. Anyways, it's the really, really bad ones. Well, any migraine that you can get.
Yeah, it's really bad.
So.
Okay, this says Ground Nation Day, Rastafari's unique holy day in which mass quantities of ganja are consumed. Is Ground Nation Day, celebrated April 21st. It commemorates Rasa Messiah Haile Selassie's 1966 visit to Jamaica, legitimizing the once marginal religion and changing the tiny Caribbean nation forever. Rastafari. All right. Yule. Yule, as reported by Moxie McMurder, High Priestess of Cannabis, winter solstice weed rituals dubbed Yule by pagans and Wiccans are individual decisions. Some celebrants burn buds or place flowers upon altars. Germanic pagans linked weed with the Norse goddess Freya and revealed at the aptly named High Festival, H-I-T-H Festival. So there you go. We just had Yule. We should be still smoking our Yule.
We are.
We smoke tiny little Yule every day. We have our tiny little Christmas tree.
I took out some Yule this afternoon.
Really?
Some Yule time.
Oh, there you go. Everyone should have a little Yule time. We're going to fix that commercial, darn it. All right. Hola Mahola. This annual Sikh poetry and martial arts festival in the Indian holy city of Anandpur Sahib marks the first day of Chet, the Sikh New Year, usually in late March. Hola Mahola translates to charge of the army. It celebrates the Nihang warriors who won military victories while high on Sukha, a sacramental potion brewed with cannabis. That's how you win your battle, babe. You make a little canna tea, and you make a little sip, and you say, charge! And you're out there, man. That's
from,
it.
From
look at
far
it.
Away, it looked like a clip from Sound of Music. Where she's on top of the...
Yeah. Hills are alive.
But you get up close, and he's actually got a spear in his hand.
Yeah, he's gonna take your hand. Yeah, I'm not saying.
High Times, you got some small print.
I know, and that's these readers. I'm like, where's
yeah, I feel like, where's the magnifying glass?
I know, I need a... Okay.
We're old.
You're kidding me? Look at that cannabis kid's growing up.
Is that what that means?
Yeah. When you can't see anymore, you're growing up.
When you can't see
all
anymore.
Right. Native American Church. Members of the Native American Church can legally use peyote in ceremonies. It's a fleshy, primordial, hallucinogenic cactus that initiates spiritual transcendence. The peyote is consumed during all night ceremonies usually held in a teepee, which incorporates singing, prayer, and a ritual fire. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if I'd be able to be contained in a teepee. If I ate some of that, you'd probably want to like run screaming naked through the desert, right? No, I don't know.
Well, when you're in that spiritual zone, you actually are able to now go and be there and go.
And go.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual go. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so technically, you could be running naked through
really
the woods,
fun.
But you would still be in the TV.
Ooh, that's great. Go get some peyote.
Transcendence.
Okay. Oh, Peyote Tuesdays? I like it. Yay. We're going to have Peyote Tuesdays.
Transcendence Tuesdays with peyote.
We might show up on Thursday for that day because we will be somewhere else.
Hey, we can do it on Thursdays too.
No, you missed it. No, boy. Okay. Christmas. The Euro-pagan roots of Christmas were influenced by the psychoactive Amanita mushroom. In Siberia, the mushroom was once gifted by jolly old shamans to tribal villagers for winter solstice. Fresh shrooms induced nausea, so the fungus was dried and strung across the fireplace, much like Christmas decoration.
Oh, there it is.
Wow. There it is. All right, so nothing wrong with a little enhancement. Dr. Grinsoon that we just talked about. And Carl Sagan, Carl Sagan, huge daily ganja smokers and consumers. In fact, Dr. Grinsoon actually makes his own capsules of fresh cannabis, and he takes those, but then he does joints and things like that, just to get the quick enhancement he likes.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's doing dabs and stuff these days, because that's some heavy enhancement. The highest dab I did it once, 56% at the cannabis cup. Oh, and I think, thinking about this morning, we should proclaim this year is the year that we go to cannabis cup together. I think it's proclaimed somewhere, anywhere in the nation.
Okay.
Bellstar and the Cannabis Kid are going to be on tour live from the cannabis cup. Look, he's scratching his beard. He's getting
Let's
all
do that.
He's not even be able to handle it, though, because one hit of something, and he's going to
sleep
in the back of the van.
Well, we just got to know what it is.
Yeah, well.
Well,
yeah,
no.
I know. We got to know what it is. It's really
important. You ask questions. I mean, God, everyone knows what they have. They're all telling everybody what they have.
Yes, that's true.
It's sometimes
they're
on a little placard.
They're throwing it at you.
So it's good because we know that
Disneyland on marijuana.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We know that there's a need and a want for knowing what is in your medication. So people are giving that to you. Now, whether it's true or not.
I know.
Whether it's true or not is the other thing. But that's where you know who your dispensary is.
Yeah.
Do you know everything about your dispensary?
Mm.
Do you talk to the people at your dispensary?
Well, and the thing is, go with your gut, I say on this. I say go to a place that makes you feel comfortable and safe.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they're providing test results. And not even hopefully in Arizona. It is a state class 4 felony if they don't provide nutrients,
right.
Chemicals, THC, CBD, all your different cannabinoid results.
It's important to know these things.
In the AMMA guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Cell Block 420. Check this out. I don't know if you've heard about this recently. Reggae star Damian Marley will team with Ocean Grown Extracts to transform a prison into a medical marijuana grow space and extract processing plant. That is awesome. Could you imagine an entire prison? As reported in July 2016 of High Times, Ocean Grown wants to grow weed in the Claremont Custody Center in Coalinga, California.
Oh, nice.
77,000 square foot former state prison. That's awesome. Marley expressed a sense of awe at the symbolic significance of growing marijuana for dispensaries in an oppressive institution that once housed inmates convicted of cannabis-related crimes. Many people sacrificed so much for the herb over the years who got locked up, he told Billboard magazine. The prison was purchased by Marley and his partners for $4.1 million. The sale also benefited Coalinga as it relieved the city of their $3.3 million debt. Isn't that awesome? That's so great. I saw that on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
On the Facebook. Yeah.
I'm noticing a lot of these dispensaries and grows is really what we're talking about, the large grow co-ops that are coming in. It's,
yes.
There's so many warehouses across this country.
Yeah.
Old Walmarts, old Kmart, Sears.
Military huge.
Airport hangars.
Where?
I mean, things that we don't have to. We can build on the infrastructure that is already here.
Let's recycle.
Let's recycle, which is what this is about, you know. And
real meaning too, spiritually. Wow, that's
for sure.
Holy cow, who ever thought?
Yeah. On where this is all going. I mean, this plant is rejoining civilization, not because we wanted it, because it wanted it.
It's happening.
It's happening.
You can't stop it.
Yeah.
Cannabis is coming.
Yep.
Cannabis is coming. I like it.
Terpenes, cannabinoids, all these chemicals were meant for us. They weren't to be deprived. We weren't supposed to be deprived of them. It's where civilization needs to go. I think it's this shift that everyone needs. We know that it is hugely beneficial for our endocannabinoid system.
And our earth.
And so we're recycling these old warehouses across the country. Which I just heard that there's going to be about 25% more large warehouse stores like Sears that are going to be going out of business again this year.
There's some
more warehouses, yeah.
Well, this is 77,000.
I know. And
that's insane.
Well, and it's already got the barbed wire around it. So
barbed wire, man.
No one can come in.
No one's coming in for Bubba Kush, Bubba.
Yeah.
You can't have it. Yeah. They
open up cell block 420.
Yeah, cell block 420. They just got to have, I'm sure they're going to have their armed guards on that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord, that's scary. But that's the same as any pharmaceutical company.
You've right.
got to have it guarded and locked and
right.
sealed away from the public because there are some cuckoos out there that would just like to go run through fields of cannabis. I mean, really, who wouldn't? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You don't want to run through a field of cannabis. But, guys, come on.
Yeah.
You get to run through a field of cannabis.
Well, you know,
not yet, anyway. Maybe they'll have had it too.
Well, we do start hearing a lot of the outdoor grows that are happening all across the country.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not all across the country, but in California.
Yeah.
And I guess Arizona would have a few outdoor grows, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And on your Google Maps, if I know
they do. Yeah. Oh, that's true. They updated. My house is on there. It's updated. It's a little scary. It's like, what? Yeah. They said it's recent, too.
Hey, baby dog, quit barking at the mailman.
Out of Google Maps, man. All right. Hempathy, we love hempathy. And look at the irrationality of modern society in regards to cannabis consumption. And yes, we know this book was written a while ago, but if you're going to read a story to anybody, this is going to be the story you want to read.
And fantastic. Stories don't ever get old, except especially if they're speaking the truth. So,
amen. Mm-hmm. You can read a book over and over.
Yeah.
Hempathy, food for thought, is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects. We need to publicize these findings in an unbiased way. I love that. And to the widest possible audience. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant. So you can go to www.why-whynot.net. And maybe you could even read along. I don't know if Ivan has this stuff for sale. We had him on our show. Wow. He was on our about 4 years ago. So he was on our two-year anniversary show or something. Crazy. We've got a five-year coming up. We got to get that schedule. That's going to happen. So that's in less than 60 days. That's coming up. So here we go. Why?
Yeah.
Ooh, and the ugly picture is.
So it's kind of one of those cities that has a lot of smog, byways, freeways, underways, highways. And you've got a couple little economy cars. You've got a little guy in a motorcycle driving all on the freeway.
It's dark.
And it's really dark and gloomy because of all the smog.
Yeah.
And there's this big, huge Hummer 4.
With a mouth opening. And it's like teeth.
Yeah, and it's blowing out a whole bunch of smog. And it says, why? Environmental devastating vehicles. The world consumes 30 billion barrels of oil per year. The U.S. has been the biggest guzzler by far, but China and other nations are using more oil as their industries develop. U.S. automobile and light trucks are responsible for nearly half of the greenhouse gases emitted by automobiles globally, according to the news study by the Environmental Defense Fund. Cars and trucks made by GM gave off 99 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, or 31% of the total.
Oh, my God.
Ford vehicles emitted 80 million metric tons, or 25%, and Chrysler vehicles emitted 51 million metric tons, or 16%, according to the report. And all this is coming from the environmental about.com.
Hmm. Wow. Well, there's that. Yuck. And this was 2010, I believe, that this was
right,
all.
So we can probably
we should check into that. Well, maybe more. Why not? Well, considering what we've had going on in the last 5 years, maybe that's reduced.
Maybe.
We could check it out.
That's interesting.
We'll have to ask Ivan. Why not? And we've got a pretty little picture of, you've got your little Prius-type doohickey cars around, and butterflies are flying, and people are happy, and hippies are smiling, and the hills are green. That's where you were going. I'm not using it. I can't go that high. Do some 80s stuff maybe, but definitely not that. Why not green machines? Rudolf Diesel, 1858 to 1913, developed the first internal combustion engine to run on peanut oil, as he demonstrated at the World Exhibition in Paris in 1900. Unfortunately, R. Diesel died 1913 before his vision of an engine powered by vegetable oil was fully realized. The use of vegetable oils for engine fuels may seem insignificant today, but such oils may become in the course of time as important as the petroleum and coal tar products of the present time. Rudolf Diesel, 1912. Quote, when Henry Ford recently unveiled his plastic car, result of 12 years of research, he gave the world a glimpse of the automobile of tomorrow. Its tough panels, molded under hydraulic pressure of 1,500 pounds per square inch, from a recipe that calls for 70% cellulose fibers from wheat straw, hemp, and sisal, plus 30% resin binder. The only steel in the car is its tubular welded frame. The plastic car weighs a ton, 1,000 pounds lighter than a comparable steel car. Manufacturers are already talking of a low-priced plastic car to test the public's taste by 1943. Wow. Wow. And that was from Popular Mechanics magazine in 1941. Wow. So in 1941, they were thinking that diesel had this great idea, and too bad he died. And then Ford came along and had a really great idea, and that got squashed. So here we are. Okay, now I'll read the why on this one because we'll let cannabis get the why nots. And we're going to go over sometimes. We tell you the show might go over, and it's just going to go a few minutes over so we can get caught up here. Okay, why? Plant landmine. Ugh, I know. And there's these army guys, and it's all dark and gloomy again, and it's, you know, army green colors, and they're digging up landmines. And it says there are an estimated 110 million active mines scattered in over 70 countries, one for every 17 children or 52 people in our world. Another 110 million have been stockpiled. 2,000 people are involved in landmine accidents every month, one victim every 20 minutes. Around 800 of these will die. The rest will be maimed. One demeanor is killed and two are injured. For every 5,000 mines cleared, about 100,000 mines are removed each year, but until recently, 2 million more were being planted each year. In 1996, the UN Secretary General increased his estimate of the resources needed to clear all existing mines from $33 billion to over $50 billion. At the current rate, it would take 1,100 years to rid the world of its mines. That's assuming no new ones are laid. So why plant landmines? And why not
plant hemp?
Yay! We love the hemp. Pretty picture.
Yes, pretty picture of happy bunny happy, large fields of hemp, acres and acres, and
beautiful sun.
They're happy.
Stars, yeah, I can see those little hippie happy stoners smiling, planting little babies.
Cleaning the air, cleaning the earth, cleaning the soil.
Mm-hmm.
To plant, why not? Plant hemp. Hemp's rapid growth makes it one of the fastest CO2 to biomass conversion tools available, more efficient than agroforestry per land use. Hemp grows in diverse soil types and conditions without the need for chemical inputs and improves soil structure while also protecting and binding soil. Hemp also adds nutrients to the soil by tapping into subsoil nutrients other plants cannot access. It also destroys nematodes and other soil pests, resulting in improved yields of subsequent crops.
Yeah.
Hemp offers a path to sustainable living in harmony with the environment and ecosystem we depend on.
And world peace.
And world peace.
And world
for
peace.
All.
For all. Oh, we love it.
Yes.
Well, on that, folks, we're going to end on that. World peace. You can't beat that. And we thank you.
We do.
January 11th. Let's give them the
January 11th.
Right
Wednesday, January 11th with Bellstar and the Cannabis Kids.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for tuning in each week. Thanks for blogging. Thanks for listening to our geekiness and silliness. And get out there and support your cannabis clubs. Come down to the Tumbleweed Health Center, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. We're going to get that changed later today, folks. We promise. We're going to have some studio time. We always say, oh, it's a minute and a half intro. We do this in two takes, and it's usually between 2 and 3 hours later.
Sometimes
some
four.
Sometimes four.
Back to the studio.
Back to the studio, and we'll fix it in the
next. Lots of giggling.
Fix it in the next. Lots of giggling. Well, thanks, folks. We love you. We love weed, and we love our earth. Be good to it. Be good to each other.
Yeah.
Have a great day. Be smart.
Be safe.
And
educate.